I did see my name in the bulletin and thought, oh my, did I forget? I'm reading John chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you were doing if God were not with him. Jesus replied, Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. How can someone be born when they are old? Nicodemus said. Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered, Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. How can this be? Nicodemus asked. You are Israel's teacher, said Jesus, and you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. This is the word of the Lord.
And now if you'll stand, if you are able, while Megan leads us in singing Holy Spirit. Oh, that's after the sermon? All right, thank you, Megan. Sit down, people, sit down. You're so easy. I'll try to lead you somewhere else. Trust me. We who believe in freedom cannot rest. We who believe in freedom cannot rest until it comes.
Let's do it again.
We who believe in freedom cannot rest. We who believe in freedom cannot rest until it comes. I went to lunch a couple of months ago at the home of human rights activist Ruby Sales. When it was time to say grace, she and I and her partner and her beloved roommate all held hands and bowed our heads. The three of them started singing that song. I knew the song because I grew up in Washington, D.C., home of Sweet Honey and the Rock, the group that sang it. But I hadn't heard it in years. We sang these first two lines, and then someone said grace, but the song has stayed with me. We who believe in freedom cannot rest. We who believe in freedom cannot rest until it comes. As a teen, Ruby Sales was a member of the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee. Ruby, who is black, was with a group protesting in Alabama in 1965. A local white man shot at the group, and a young white seminarian named Jonathan Daniels pulled her out of the line of fire, and he was mortally wounded. Ruby was gutsy, let me tell you, and she still is. She will walk with her cane and go into some rural southern town where there a black person has been murdered and investigate. And so it was nothing for her that they were threatening her life during this time. She still testified against the killer. But he was acquitted by an all-white jury. So it is understandable why Ruby sings this song and why she continues to do the humanitarian work she believes in, the work that she believes that Jonathan Daniels might have done also if he had not been killed saving her. What happened to Jonathan is the kind of thing that makes me especially restless, and I find myself asking, God, why? On today, Trinity Sunday, we sensitize all we have celebrated over the past months. God becoming flesh and dwelling among us in Jesus Christ. Christ's death and resurrection for us. And last Sunday, the Pentecost. God the Holy Spirit becoming our sanctifier, our guide, and our teacher. In a way, today is our transition to the part of the year where Sunday by Sunday we are called to simply observe the unfolding of God in our everyday lives. In today's reading from John, Nicodemus, a prominent, learned, and respected leader among the Jews, is baffled when Jesus tells him a person must be born from above. In the book, The Message, it says, Jesus explained, unless a person is born from above, it's not possible to see what I'm pointing to God's kingdom. And when Nicodemus questions Jesus more, Jesus explains, unless a person submits to the original creation, the wind hovering over the water creation, the invisible moving the visible, a baptism into new life, it's not possible to enter God's kingdom. This is a process some people call being born again. But I think of it more as Brueggemann described in his prayer, a relocation of holiness. See, in our humanness, I believe there are times when we slip and fall away from God. We fall down and we get back up. Times when a difficult challenge makes me demand God answer to me. For Nicodemus, Jesus compares the process of being born again to a baby being born of flesh, but becoming a living spirit only after being shaped within by something you can't see or touch. During our lifetime, we experience and witness traumas and horrors, gut-wrenching pain. We may falter and lose our way, but there is a process that allows us to be reborn each time, to find our way back to God. Brueggemann says we do this through worship, which he calls our human vocation. It requires we accept and yield to the mystery and the palpable power of God. In other words, in our worshiping, we let go of the humanness that blocks us from our divinity, that humanness that requires answers and rationalization. We give in to the something we can't see or touch, but it is a challenge. After the killing of George Floyd, I needed to find my way back to water and spirit. My search led me to attend a virtual interdenominational prayer tent held each morning from Minneapolis. I sat at my computer and I listened along with hundreds of other people. I joined the virtual prayer tent just as the trial of Floyd's killer began, and I attended it until it ended last week, the day after the year anniversary of George Floyd's murder. I laughed, wondering if Jesus' disciples would have attended a virtual prayer tent after his crucifixion. I listened to poets, imams, rabbis, pastors, bishops, high school students, activists, and this is some of what I heard. That refugees in Syria stood on the rubble of war-torn fields and painted beautiful murals of George Floyd. I heard hate is anger not filtered through love. From a young black woman, black people live with discomfort every day. From a young white pastor, it is time for white people to sit in discomfort, not to run from it. He called this a sacred discomfort that had the power to heal. A woman pastor said, "We are all just dressed up dirt. We should recognize each person has been called from the dust by God." A male bishop said, "We have taken sides, one for the elephant, one for the donkey, but who is for the Lamb of God?" As I listened, I began to feel more hopeful, less restless. We worshiped together. Brueggemann says that today, Trinity Sunday, is an occasion for engaging with and responding to God's mystery on terms other than our own. On my terms, I needed God to explain George Floyd's killing. I was stuck at Jesus on the cross. I had to be reminded that the crucifixion of Jesus was not a defeat, but a rebirth, a new beginning. Things are not as they seem with our human eyes. Listening to the members of this prayer community, I let go of the humanness that was blocking my view. I was made anew, rearranged by God's holiness, refilled with the Holy Spirit. In worshiping, I was reborn. I yielded to the overwhelming and extravagant presence of God. I will not rest until my work is done, but I am not restless. Strong again, I can open my arms and say, "Here I am, Lord. Send me." We who believe in freedom cannot rest. We who believe in freedom cannot rest until it comes. Unto the killing of black men, black mothers' sons, is as important as the killing of white men, white mothers' sons. We who believe in freedom cannot rest. We who believe in freedom cannot rest until it comes. This sermon is approximately 9 minutes and 29 seconds long, the amount of time it took Derek Chauvin to choke the life out of George Floyd. But you can see what else can be done in that time. A rabbi at the virtual prayer tent said, "For Jewish people, the scariest sound in the world is that of murderous silence." Amen. Let us pray. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, God, heal within us all that would make us want less for anyone than we desire for ourselves. We give thanks for a process of worship that allows us to heal, that we might be reborn again and again. Amen.